WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Joey Chestnut, all-time athlete.
Oh, here we go.
Was perspiring like a madman. Took down 70 and a half glizzies at Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Hang on. And a half? They count that?
Yeah, they do.
Sports Talk Saturday.
When he's not dunking them in water and shoving them down, like, yeah, it's much, it's probably much easier to enjoy. Like, imagine, you got a cup full of water, you just shove your hand into it with a hot dog in it, and then you just ingest it all at once.
I think we've lost Derek for the show. No, 7 into the show and we've lost Derek.
It's unbelievable to think about.
This is why I don't talk about
it. On WGR.
Because imagine if the bun's stale.
Oh, stop.
Then you have to dunk a stale bun. It's like embracing the crunch of the stale donut, but it's a stale hot dog bun.
Sports Radio 550.
You had to do it. You had to do it.
He did. That he did. Embrace the crunch.
I'm thoroughly upset. We'll talk to Alex Brasky in just a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the open, really.
That's what an all-time athlete gets open-wise right there.
To my program director, Alan Davis, I'm going on strike if we talk more about the hot dog eating competition.
Apparently it was big.
I don't know how successful it'll be, but I'm going on strike.
The sports betting lines were big on it, maybe.
This is what's wrong with society.
And technically it's sports betting, so that means...
No, shut up. There's betting on everything.
You're right. There was betting on the presidential
election.
You
stop right now. Gross. I've already talked over these last two shows that I've done with you present for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to talk already too much about the hot dog eating competition.
Well, the odds ranged from Chestnut for 2,500, minus 2,500 to minus 1,800, so...
All right, well, now I need Alex Brasky to do me a huge favor, which is to get me to stop hearing about the hot dog eating contest.
That's honestly what I came on here to talk about, guys. Joey Jaws, another legendary performance. 71 hot dogs and buns, I think. Didn't get his record 76. He was a little disappointed, but my, oh, my, what a legendary athlete we've been witnessing these past 10 years or so.
Thank you.
Alex,
keyword there. Look at that.
Alex, you betrayed me.
I think Bulldog would disagree. I saw him tweet out yesterday denying the fact that this is even a sport, and I would probably agree with him. But in jest, it's very fun to
yes,
to pick fun at the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not amongst the popular opinion, apparently, because people will watch this. But I have to keep my eyes away from that, man. I can't do it. I can't handle it, man. I quite literally cannot stomach it, which is bottomless pits for those people.
Yeah, it is quite unsettling to see buns being dunked into water.
Oh,
soggy bread, not something that really sits well on the mind. So
nope.
I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where we're at here. But also, it's been a while, Alex. We have a lot to catch up on. There was a whole off season that happened, and it would be a good time to really be able to catch up with you about the comings and goings about the National Football League, the Bills in particular as well, with training camp just a couple weeks away now as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to apologize earlier, a little mix up on my end. I was telling Evan that communication is key in this world, and something did come up. I appreciate Derek, I think, taking the fall in an earlier segment,
yep,
saying it was a communication thing on his part, but it was really my error. So I do apologize, and I appreciate you guys sticking with me. But yeah, training camp right around the corner. This is the time of year where fans really start to kick into high gear after the July 4th holiday. They really start chomping at the bit for that information, who's going to surpass who in competition positional battles. And the Bills don't have all that many positional battles, but there are a few very key points of emphasis entering this training camp.
Alex, I was falling on the sword because I'm used to that, man. Let me do that for you. I appreciate that, though.
Well, you wearing the sling, I didn't want to add insult to injury there. I wanted you to heal up from that before you fell on any other sword moving forward.
So. Alex, my life is an insult, so let's not worry about that. But you mentioned it, though, position battles. There's not many of them, But heading toward training camp, getting geared up for it, Alex, what are the ones that you're looking at the most as HBO is going to start rolling in here? They're going to start filming probably some good positional battles because the Bills may not have a lot of them, but there are going to be a couple and they're high quality.
Yeah, cornerback two is the clear number one point of emphasis entering training camp. Maxwell Harrison drafted in the first round. His speed, his skill set is something the Bills haven't had in their cornerback room the past few years. If he's able to live up to expectations, he could pair mighty well with Christian Benford. Now, judging based on what we saw during OTAs and kind of him and Tre'Davious White, even Dane Jackson and others kind of filtering through, working in competition with each other for that starting role, I think we're going to see that continue to play out come training camp. Now, we must mention that Maxwell Harrison did sustain a leg injury at the tail end of mandatory minicamp, and he's also now dealing with some off-the-field issues. So there is something to consider there, but I'm really looking forward to that cornerback two battle. Tre'Davious White, Max Harrison, really the top two, I think, that are in competition for that job. And I've maintained it since they brought him in through free agency. I think Tre'Davious White right now is in line to win that job. I think they want to start the season with the veteran, maybe mix and match there, and maybe put Harrison in circumstances that would benefit his skill set, whereas Tre'Davious White lacking in certain phases of the game at this stage of his career. So I'm excited to watch cornerback two, especially those two and how things play out there.
Looking at the other side of the ball, I don't know if you're on the Elijah Moore train or not, but it's kind of been a growing theme the past couple weeks. So a position battle in the wide receiver room, what do you see that setup kind of looking like for the Bills through training camp and into the season?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the Elijah Moore train on my new venture, Buffalo Pregame, which is kind of an online offshoot of Bill's Digest.
Nice.
You're going to see plenty of that on my X account in the coming weeks. I made five bold predictions entering training camp, and Elijah Moore finishing as wide receiver three was one of my bold predictions. I think Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman, I think that's what the Bills want out of their top two wide receivers. And then beyond that, it's really a question mark. You have Curtis Samuel coming back. You have Elijah Moore. You brought in Joshua Palmer off the free agent pile. So someone has to separate themselves in terms of that group of three, and perhaps one of them can even elevate over Keon Coleman if he's not able to elevate his game to another level. So I'm interested to see really how it works out with Samuel, Palmer, and Moore. And if you ask me right now, just based on mini camp, there are no pads. You're not allowed to hit a wide receiver after the catch or anything like that. So it makes it a little bit easier for the pass catchers. But watching Elijah Moore out there, building the rapport with Josh Allen and other quarterbacks, just his smoothness throughout the route and the speed that he offers after the catch, I think could really be a boost to this Bills wide receiver room. But the Bills did pay Joshua Palmer a hefty sum in free agency, and like I said, they have Curtis Samuel coming back after 1 year in this system, so it won't be easy for Elijah Moore to elevate himself over those two or perhaps Keon Coleman, but right now I've really liked what I've seen from him, and I view him obviously brought in, I think, a little bit earlier than Chase Claypool was last year, but similar to that track, somebody that needs to prove themselves come training camp, and I'm confident he'll be able to do so.
Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. Training camp just slightly over 2 weeks away here and getting geared up for this thing. Alex, of course, one of the things that I was trying to hammer on all throughout the draft offseason, draft preparation, everything like that, was get me some big boys up front at D-tackle. And they did that not once but twice with their group with drafting T.J. Sanders and then going back and getting Deion Walker in the fourth round. Also, signing Larry Ogunjobi, while he may be suspended for the first six games, it does seem like there's going to be a very crowded but pleasant defensive tackle rotation looking ahead.
Yeah, they really brought in a lot of pieces, as you mentioned, and they needed it. The defensive line was not up to par last year, and really it's never been a significant point of strength for the Bills under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, but with all the capital that they committed to the defensive line during this offseason, I don't see how it can't be better than it was last year. Now, it does have to play itself out. There's a lot of unproven there. You mentioned the two rookies, TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, both players who I think have high upside, especially TJ Sanders, someone who impressed me during minicamp and OTAs, albeit no pads, so it's tough to really determine, especially in the trenches. But if those two are able to turn into something, and then you mentioned Larry Ogunjobi coming back after six games, I don't see how this group isn't boosted from a season ago. Another one of my bold predictions was TJ Sanders will lead Bills defensive tackles in sacks. Ed Oliver will certainly have something to say about that. But I've completely flipped on TJ Sanders. When they selected him, due to the circumstances of the trade and everything like that, I wasn't too high on it. But watching him out there and seeing his skill set and seeing how he measures up alongside Bills offensive and defensive linemen, I like what I see from TJ Sanders. And you mentioned the others. I think this group, if it's not boosted from a season ago, something has gone drastically wrong.
That kind of leads into, I mean, last season the Bills were the underdog. They were counted out in multiple different national media outlets, and now they're favored in most betting markets to win every single game of the season. Are you confident? Like, what is your thought on, are the Bills truly better than they were last year? Are they kind of right around the same? Do you think they have taken a step forward or kind of sitting, you know, as a championship contender still like they were?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've placed them as a Super Bowl contender for the past several seasons, much like everybody else throughout the media sphere. But the way that the Bills are being talked about this offseason, I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. They're being pegged as a Super Bowl favorite, and I can understand why people would expect them to roll through the regular season and perhaps earn that number one seed in the AFC. The way the schedule's laid out, this is one of the easier schedules that I've seen the Bills have in the past several years. There's really no daunting stretch. You have tough matchups with Baltimore, Kansas City. You have Pittsburgh now building, Cincinnati you have down the road. You have the defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, in week 17. But there's really no 2-3-game stretch that you look at and say, wow, this could really cause the Bills to stumble. So I understand why people are pegging them to, like I said, walk through their regular season slate, win the AFC East, and perhaps earn that number one seed. But when you stack them up against the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, like you said, I'm not so sure that you can point to any area on the Bills roster and say this is absolutely improved at this point. Like I mentioned, the defensive line, it should be improved, but there's a lot to prove there. So I think there's a lot left to be said for the Bills. You look at their weapons, I think those are a question. We talked about wide receiver. You have Khalil Shakir, but everything from then on out, in terms of pass catchers, is kind of a question mark. Dalton Kincaid coming off a disappointing season. James Cook, you don't know if he's going to be out there during training camp. He says he is. All signs point to no problem there, but you never know what you're going to have there. The defensive line, as I mentioned, in flux. Linebackers both dealt with injury last year. The secondary likely to have two new unproven starters. So the quarterback and the offensive line are sure things. The offensive line has been one of the best in football the past couple of years. Josh Allen coming off the MVP season. But if you look up and down the roster and the different position groups, there's a lot of question there. And I'm just having trouble with the Super Bowl favorite aspect of the Bills' expectations this offseason. I think they're going to be a phenomenal team. And like I said, I think they're going to have a great regular season record. But I think they're going to have to prove a lot in those different areas with unproven players and unproven commodities in order to take that next step.
Alex, when it comes down to it, because you mentioned, like, you know, you might be having a little bit of tougher time with the Super Bowl favorite thing, but around the league, I don't necessarily know if I have a lot of confidence in most of the conference outside of, you know, that one team. but when it comes to Baltimore, Buffalo is able to handle them with relative consistency. Pittsburgh made a trade last week. That happened. And, like, the rest of the conference, though, it really does seem kind of like it might be more of an indictment from across the league than anything else that Buffalo is doing in particular, with a weaker schedule, with how the AFC East is panning out there. Could that be more of why it seems like the national viewpoint on the Bills is also far more favorable than it was a year ago?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. There is no surefire top team in the AFC. You look at the Chiefs and you typically say this is the surefire top team in the AFC. And I think many still consider them as such, but they struggled through points of last season, and there's questions to go along with what they're going to experience this year. You look at the wide receiver room, they're bringing back two injured stars, Travis Kelce getting older, so who's going to step to the forefront there? Defensively, a couple spots, you're aging. So, yeah, I don't think that there's a surefire team in the AFC, but there are a few teams that have made key additions this offseason, and none more key than the Steelers adding DK Metcalf, Aaron Rodgers. You see the trade they made for Jalen Ramsey. So they're really stocking up. And if Aaron Rodgers can give them above average quarterback play and TJ Watt sticks around, that could be a really, really tough team to contend with. Somebody that could kind of come out of maybe not nowhere, but really improve their standing from a season ago. And you still have to worry about the Ravens. They took care of you during the regular season. I know that during the playoffs, the Bills have had the better of that matchup, but Derrick Henry is one scary dude, and Lamar Jackson, obviously MVP caliber. So there are teams in the AFC that do give me a little pause and a little cause for concern for the Bills. I think the Chargers are going to be much improved this year, and the Broncos, you saw them compete well last year. Their defense could be one of the best in the league, and if Bo Nix can make it work with what's, I think, a mediocre skill group, I think the Broncos could be much improved. So there isn't that surefire team, but there are teams that have been adding pieces, much like the Bills in this offseason. We're going to see in a few months how things are going to swing.
We will see how things swing there, Alex. And lastly here, more or less, because of the fact that the division is looking like it might be going through a little bit of change, obviously not at the top. The Bills should be safely atop the AFC East. But the Patriots seem to be favored in more games than years past right now, because it does look like they might be taking that next step. Miami might be acknowledging that their core might be needing a big change. And the Jets, well, let's see what the Jets have here. Who do you think, like, how do you think the pecking order goes for the rest of the division this year? Because it does look like it's an enticing and curious conversation.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the Jets are able to do anything with Justin Fields at quarterback. They have offensive line concerns, and Justin Fields has been running for his life his entire career. So I don't see that changing with the Jets. The Dolphins, I am not high on the Dolphins this year, particularly with recent moves being made. You ship out a talented tight end in Jonnu Smith. You bring in Darren Waller off the scrap heap out of the country music charts. I'm not sure that's the right move to make there, but I think this is a division that the Bills are clearly the best team, but the New England Patriots, I think, are coming and coming fast. I like Mike Vrabel as a head coach. I like Drake May as a quarterback prospect. If Stephon Diggs can come off that ACL and put the offseason drama behind him, which he typically does, there's always something surrounding Stephon Diggs during the offseason, and this time he was on a boat doing what he does. So if he's able to go out and produce for this young quarterback, he can do somewhat of what he did for Josh Allen years ago. I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is still the same talent as all those years ago, but he was productive while on the field for the Houston Texans last year. So if he's able to provide Drake May with a bona fide number one target, I like what the Patriots could do this year. I like their defense, especially their secondary. Christian Gonzalez, a really talented young player. So I think the Patriots are probably number two in the pecking order, but Bills still clear, far and away favorite in the AFC East.
Alex, we appreciate you taking your time on a 4th of July weekend to join us here. So thank you, first and foremost, for being able to do so. But let the people know what you are up to and things that might be coming in the future here, because you did plug that you have something coming along, and let them all hear it.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I appreciate you guys sticking with me, allowing me to come on a little bit later, a lot to discuss, and I thought we got a lot in. But yeah, I'm with Bills Digest. You can continue to follow along there. We're going to have our training camp preview coming out right around July 14th, so leading into training camp, everyone will have plenty of time to read all about the, as you said earlier, the comings and goings from One Bills Drive, and in this case, St. John Fisher, and also Buffalo pregame on Substack. Free subscription. I'm writing about Bills and Sabres primarily. We'll also have podcasting and videos down the road on YouTube, so be on the lookout for that. And really beyond that, I'm looking forward to MafiaCon. Derek and Zach joining me for a little guest spot at around 2:45. So if you're planning on going to MafiaCon, make sure you schedule around the stars of WGR showing up at around 2:45.
Hey, I appreciate that,
and Joe,
Alex.
And Joe, we'll have to get you involved as well. I don't know if there's enough microphone to go around with me, Derek.
I'm going to have to leave early. Joe might have to carry the rest of the show on that Saturday.
Yeah.
I might be leaving Joe here on purpose. Hey, Joe, here's this anchor. You mind tying it to your ankle?
Hopefully he'll have plenty to talk about, because with Bills training camp coming up, like I said, this is the fans' favorite time of year, and there's so much speculation and projecting to go along with it. So excited to follow along.
It is. It's very exciting, and we're getting to that point where it's starting to rev back up, and I can't wait. I always look forward to this time of year.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, though, to join you, finally be able to see you in person as well, Alex. And we're hoping, Zach and I, that we're also getting shipped off to training camp for a couple of days this year. So it'll be nice to get a little bit more familiar with the Bills beat.
That's great. That's great. And we'll see you soon, guys.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to it, Alex. And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good.
That's Alex Braske on the West Her Hotline. Love talking to Alex.
Yeah, a lot of good Bills stuff there. Like I said, it's revving up. We're getting ready for it, and I'm excited. So
I did cringe for his mental health when he said he also was going to be talking about the Sabres.
Yeah.
No. sort of thing. But, you know.
Anakin just became Darth Vader.
Alex is good at what he does, knows his stuff, and we love talking to him here. So always good to hear from him, always good to catch up. And as he said, I'll be joining him for MafiaCon in a couple of weeks. So
that's cool.
Go on. Head down there. We'll say what's up. Probably hang out afterward. We'll have ourselves a grand old time. Why? Because that's what we do here. So we'll come back. A little bit of a grab bag coming up in the next segment here. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali here with you on a lovely Saturday, Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.